Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here with Otto. Some may think it's the opposite. Hi, everybody. This is the Otto Show with Dennis Prager. So it's all your call, how you like it. It's the fireside chat number
227.
And as all of you know, there's a special meaning to 227. Can't think of it offhand, but I'm sure there is. So I got something on my mind, which I usually do, and then I take your questions. What's on my mind, believe it or not, right now is not Russia and Ukraine. It's certainly an issue, but Canada. Canada is essentially lost to the Western world as a free country. The speed with which a country can become an unfree country is frightening. Now, in a sense, it's not speedy. It's been happening over time with the wokeness that pervades Canada, even more so than the United States. Many of you know Jordan Peterson, this wonderful, remarkable, brilliant man, professor of psychology at the University of Toronto until very recently, when I believe he left. And it was his opposition to wokeness in Canada, being ordered to say certain pronouns, that brought him international fame, especially his interview, I think it was with the BBC, where he answered the woke BBC interviewer so effectively that he got an international following. Would that I be interviewed by the BBC? Oh, gods above, may you arrange that. By the way, I believe in one God. You never know what'll be taken out. Prager declares himself a polytheist. I could see it. It's hard to joke these days. They take something out of context and you're slammed. So Jordan Peterson's Canadian, of course, and he's watching his country sink. You have to understand the leader of Canada, Justin Trudeau, is essentially a Marxist. He adored communism when it existed, or it still does. He thinks China is a model country. I've seen the video of him saying that. A model government because it could get things done so quickly, which is true for every dictatorship. And it's amazing that he would even say that. But, it's not amazing if you know who he is. He's a very mean human being. I want to talk about his meanness in a moment because it's a very big subject. But please understand that Canada is deteriorating terribly. And this is pre the truckers' strike, when for 2 years police were sent to arrest people who were just, what was that famous video, wasn't it? Did that happen in the U.S. or Canada? I mean, where the guy was sitting on the beach alone, basically, and arrested? I guess.
What happened in the U.S.?
It must have been U.S. Canada's not known for beaches.
Someone was surfing once.
He was arrested. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Or the tennis players who had to wear masks. After all, they were only 40 feet from each other. But people would snitch. Canadians would snitch on fellow Canadians. They're having more than four people in their house. Not that they were making noise, that they were simply gathered there. But with fear, you can control a population. And whereas in the United States, there is a very large opposition to this, witness talk radio and PragerU and this broadcast, and Daily Wire, and TPUSA, and all the great websites, a Republican Party that whatever you say about it is a vigorous opposition. Maybe it should be more vigorous. That's not the issue. They don't have any of this in Canada. None of this. They did have heroic truckers, though. I've mentioned this to you. They are heroic. All they said was, please, let us not be fired so that we can make a living and feed our families. That's all they wanted. They were told that if you don't get vaccinated, you can't keep your job. But whom were they threatening? They sit alone in the cab of their truck. Who were they threatening? And probably half of them had COVID, so they had better immunity than people with vaccinations. That's a fact. That's not misinformation. Misinformation is to say the vaccine is better than natural immunity. That's misinformation. I risk my reputation on that fact. Okay? Let the ones who call it misinformation risk their reputation on saying that that's misinformation. So the truckers, that's all they were asking for. It was nonviolent. Then the prime minister calls them Nazi sympathizers and white supremacists. That's really evil. It's just evil. One person had a Nazi flag. We don't even know if he was a plant. And if he wasn't a plant, so what? One person had a Nazi flag. What does that say about all the others? This has nothing to do with Nazism. This has nothing to do with white supremacy. It had to do with, please let me keep my job. That's all it was. So Justin Trudeau has declared the Emergencies Act for the first time in the history of the act. He has power to do anything he wants for 30 days, but it will last longer than that, the ramifications. Please understand what he has done. If you took part in the strike, and here's the killer, if you gave any money to the truckers, they will freeze all of your money. The banks are not allowed to allow you to use your own money. I've never heard of such a thing in a democracy. Never. But it's not a democracy anymore. Well, it might be a democracy. It's not a free country. Democracy and free are not the same thing. The majority of Canadians support what the government is doing. So it's a democratic country that is not free. Isn't that interesting? It's a very important distinction. Democracy doesn't mean free. It just means that the majority decide who the rulers are. But if the majority vote for a thug, then you have a thuggish country. It's very important to remember the founders of the United States didn't trust the majority. That's why we have an electoral college. That's why we have a U.S. Senate. They're not based on majorities. We don't direct elect the president. They didn't trust the majority, the founders, because they were the wisest founders of a country in the history of the world. A bunch of giants met in 1776. Well, I want to read to you what a friend of mine who's a French Canadian texted me today. One of our sons donated $10 to the truckers via GoFundMe. His bank account has now been frozen. He can't pay rent or make car payments. That is Putin's Russia. That is Mussolini's Italy. That is Lenin's Russia. That's Canada for you. Canada is now a bad country with a lot of nice people. But you know what? Every bad country has a lot of nice people. Just remember that. There were plenty of nice people in Mussolini's Italy. Plenty of nice people. You name the country and the evil regime. There were plenty of nice people there. So what? Canada has become a bad country. I'm going to read to you what Justin Trudeau, the Marxist prime minister of Canada, said when Fidel Castro, the longest reigning dictator in the world, when he died in 2016, what he said in his memory. By the way, he gave the most pro-Castro speech of any leader in the Western world. We're talking about Justin Trudeau. It is with deep sorrow that I learned today of the death of Cuba's longest serving president. Longest serving president? You know how funny that is? Because he's a dictator. That's why he was the longest serving. Because there's no vote. Just that line alone is so condemnatory of Trudeau. Fidel Castro was a larger-than-life leader who served his people for almost half a century. Served his people? He rendered it one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere from one of the richest countries in the Western Hemisphere. He did virtually nothing for his people. He was horrific. He was a dictator who killed dissidents. Who served his people for almost half a century. Oh my God, just a half a century. Isn't that condemnatory? A legendary revolutionary and orator. Mr. Castro made significant improvements to the education and healthcare of his island nation. Yeah, that's it. That's all that matters. It's like they, for all of my life, I heard the left say, you know, Castro made a 99% literacy rate in Cuba. And I remember saying all the time, so what? I'd rather be illiterate and free than literate and unfree. So anyway, he just goes on and tell what a great man the guy is. This is Canada is hurting innocent people. So let me tell you one final rule of life. This is from the Talmud, about 1800 years ago, the second holiest work in Judaism. It's about as big as the Encyclopedia Britannica. And it's got philosophy and law and legend and arguments and theology. It's got everything. And they got a great line in there. Those who are kind to the cruel will be cruel to the kind. That is Justin Trudeau in a nutshell. Kind to the cruel and cruel to the kind. Kind to Castro and cruel to his own people. You gave $10 to the truckers. You don't have any money anymore. Okie doke, it is time for the question. Okay.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
My name is Jessica. I'm 29 and I live in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm also a member of Prager Force. My question to you is, what are your thoughts on long-distance relationships? Do you believe they can work out, or are they just doomed to fail overall because of, obviously, the distance? Thank you so much for all that you guys do, and God bless.
Oh, sweet. God bless you. Okay, I love that stuff. That's my favorite sort of question. I love micro stuff. I know two people very well, two people a little younger than you, in fact, whose relationship is so long distance, it's approximately 8,000 miles. And I'm quite sure it'll work out. What they do is they talk a lot. And by the way, there's almost an advantage to that. Because it's very tempting to rely on physical intimacy, and I'm only using the euphemism because a lot of young people watch this. But you know what I mean, obviously. So this forces you to relate on the level of communication, verbal, perhaps written. So, look, I don't think it's a good thing for a marriage, although some of those work out. But if you are in a premarital serious relationship and you have long distance and there's hope that you will live together at one time in the same house or the same city, I don't see why it shouldn't work. And in fact, as I said, I think there could be advantages. So pursue it and enjoy it. Noah, 23 years old, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Mr. Prager, Snoopy, Otto, Megan's Arm, and so-and-so with the complimentary childhood nickname. Oh, my God, I missed that the first time. So-and-so. That'll be my new nickname. From Nate the Great to so-and-so. That is hilarious. With the what? Complimentary childhood nickname. That's, like, perfect. That's the right. That is the perfect description. I recently watched Casablanca, one of my two favorite movies. The other is Groundhog Day. Yeah. I recently watched Casablanca with my wife. Oh, you're 23 and married? Good man. And a thought occurred to me while watching, how did Hitler convince so many people to act on his behalf and commit the atrocities that the Nazis did? I can understand one man or a few men even becoming incredibly evil, but how can one person influence so many others to do evil things? Thanks for your weekly wisdom and may God bless you. Thank you. So the one of the answers is, one of the reasons that the 20th century was the bloodiest century in history was a mass media. Before mass media, it was much harder to brainwash people. Although it happened as well. The Jews were blamed for the plague. What was the name of it? Not the dark plague. What was the name of the bubonic plague? Anyway, the Black Plague, yeah. They were blamed for that, even though they died too. That's really something. How do you start a plague? But then it doesn't matter. So, in other words, even before mass media, mass lies were available. But the mass media made it possible to convince vast numbers of people of the irrational. We're living through that now. That is my fear. We have been living through that now. When I see the University of Pennsylvania women's swim team celebrating the victory of Leah Thomas, who 2 years ago was a male swimmer and remains a biological male and keeps winning the races and depriving them of victories, and they're celebrating, how do you do that? How can you convince girls to dance with regard to their defeat? They've been cheated out of victories, as have all the other teams, as this male who identifies as a female keeps winning races, and the Ivy League is fine with it. The ability to convince people of anything through pressure and mass media is astonishing. And that brings me to another very important point. I think I made it on a fireside chat, but made a lot of points on fireside chats. All good is accomplished by outliers. Not all outliers do good, but all good is done by outliers. That the person who marches against or swims against the current marches to the beat of his or her own drummer. If you go along with the masses, the odds are you're not doing a good thing. It's very easy, I have found. These past 2 years, read my columns from 2 years ago. The one was called The Good American, and the other was called The Good German. And it is about this very subject. Please do read them. I have undergone a very sad realization about the country I love. The ease with which many of my fellow citizens have been brainwashed at college and high school by the government. Just today, I was looking at a Los Angeles Times piece. Parents are so unhappy, it said, that they can't get their 5-year-old vaccinated. I think it's child abuse to vaccinate a 5-year-old. Why would you vaccinate a 5-year-old? Are 5-year-olds dying of COVID? It's virtually unheard of. More are killed in car crashes. Would you take your child in a car? It's more dangerous than COVID to a 5-year-old. But another realization of the last 2 years, I used to think love and hate were the most powerful emotions. I'm wrong. Fear is. So that's how... That's the answer. That's how it was done in Germany. Fear, brainwash, social pressure. You can get people to do anything. Not anybody. There are people who will resist. but they're called outliers. Lee, 41 years old, Milford, Connecticut. Hi, Dennis. I'm a new fan. I heard of you through your work with Adam Carolla, and I'm so glad I did. One of my favorite things you've said is, we live in the age of the denial of the obvious. Could you please elaborate on that more and give examples? Thank you so much. Well, that is great. By the way, there was no bigger fan of Adam Carolla than I. And I am honored that he listens to my show every day. He really does. It's not a compliment that he pays me. He really does. It means a lot to me. Anyway, I adore the man. We made a movie together. You should all see it. No Safe Spaces. It's a fantastic film. He's a terrific person. And an atheist, by the way, just in case you think all of my kindred spirits are religious. Be that as it may. So, yes, we live in the age of the denial of the obvious. Okay, it's not obvious that if a biological male competes against women, this person has an advantage. That's not obvious. It's not obvious that that's not fair. Isn't it the denial of the obvious? Isn't it obvious that only men give birth? Now, that only women give birth? That's pretty obvious, isn't it? But, hey, you go to school. You go, that's not, oh, no, what are you talking about? Science tells us men give birth. Really? Now, I'm not saying that women who identify as male don't give birth. They do. But they are biologically women. So it's dishonest to say men give birth. If you want to say women who identify as men give birth, I don't have any argument with you. Or even transgendered men. If you say transgender, I'll live with that. But not men give birth. Here, you want another obvious thing? It's obvious that if you defund the police, more people die. More stores get robbed. More people are beaten in the street. That's obvious. And yet we live in the age of the denial of the obvious. I would say that leftism is overwhelmingly a denial of the obvious. That is one of its primary characteristics. Defund the police. It's obvious to me that this is the least racist multiracial country in the history of the world. That's obvious, and yet it's denied. Tell me a country with multitude of races that has done better than us. Actually, how's this? Tell me a country that has a multitude of races. There isn't any. So we're doing pretty damn well. I keep reading, Finns are the happiest people in the world. I keep reading that. The Atlantic had an article on that. And how about this? Did you ever notice that virtually every Finn is white? Every Finn is, it's not even a matter of they're white. It's the same race. Finland is not a multicultural. They're all Christian. They're all white. I mean, many of them are atheists, but they're all Christian stock. It's easy to produce a happier society when there is nobody different from the great, great, great majority. This is a rare, unique experiment in human history, America. And it's done really, really well, actually. That's why 3 million blacks have moved to the United States in the last half century, and 20 million would have moved if they were allowed. 2 million from Africa, 1 million from the Caribbean, because they know how good it is in America for a black person. It's a gigantic lie. Like one of the New York Times columnists who's black, I tell my son, he wrote this, I tell my son, you know, I'm sorry, but got a lot to fear when you leave the house from whites. Oh, really? What exactly? We live in the age of the denial of the obvious. That's exactly correct. I'm glad you had me elucidate on it. Next question. Waco, Texas. Peg, 61. I've been married for 29 years and with my husband for 35. He recently told me we can't be together anymore. He refuses to go to counseling and has decided that we need to go our separate ways. To say I'm devastated is an understatement. How do I survive this? My heart goes out to you. I don't know what how much that's worth, but I just want you to know that it does. To be hit unawares, to be shocked by your spouse wanting to end the marriage, in this case of 29 years together, 35, that's a blow. That's a real blow. I've done a show, and I'm going to do it again on my male-female hour on my radio show. I should do it immediately, maybe. It's a great topic. Were you shocked by your spouse's decision to divorce? And in retrospect, what should you have seen that you didn't? That's a question I would like to pose to you. There had to be some breakdown in communication for you to be shocked by his wanting to end the marriage to such a degree that he wouldn't even go to counseling. By the way, I'm not blaming him. I don't know the situation. There's no blame, but I'm certainly not blaming you. But it's a question that I would want to ask. Why were you shocked? Did you miss anything? Were things terrific until that day? I don't know the answers, obviously, but I would love to ask them. So you want to know, how do you survive this? The answer is, there are many answers. First, no, you will survive this. It doesn't seem like it immediately. It feels like you want to die. You will survive. Unless you opt to opt out of life. But I don't think you will. I don't think you would have called in or written in the question. So many people have undergone such terrible losses. How do people survive the death of a child? Have they all opted out of life? Have they all committed suicide? And I can't think of a greater pain than the loss of a child. You don't know the resources you have in you. You will soon. If you will them, you will find strength in yourself that you didn't even know was there. People survive traumas, emotional or otherwise. Secondly, you need kindred spirits in your life. People should not be alone. You can't retreat. Yeah, I hope you have female friends, and I hope you enjoy them and they enjoy you. I hope when you're ready, you go on an internet dating site. I'm a big believer in those. Not just for Nate the Great. Maybe you'll meet Nate the Great. But, well, there would be a 35-year difference, so I can't really suggest that in all honesty. Nevertheless, a lot of people meet people that way, and you have to march on, take up great interests, passions, figure out what brings you joy. Do you have children? I mean, you know, that wasn't mentioned here. But I promise you, you asked how you will survive this, you will. We have shock absorbers that we don't even know about. And I'd like to hear from you in a year. Be very interested to know what has transpired. I guess that about brings us from Canada to divorce. That's it, because all of life matters. All right, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager on behalf of Otto. Thank you for watching, and be with you next week. Thank you for watching this video. To help keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.